Appreciate Darren and the song selection today. I love that song. Haven't ever been able to say it. Thank you for treading that water first for me. I really do appreciate that. But good morning. It's a pleasure to be up here this morning, have an opportunity to speak to you. It's a blessing. And you're right, not a guest speaker, but also, you know, Elliot's rather sharp. I'm not. Just wanted to tell you, just in case we're not clear, I am not Elliot. However, it's a good work what's happening over the weekend with the marriage retreat. Elliot, Stephanie, and a bunch of other couples are going to study more about the institution that God has given us. And sadly, I missed the deadline by a few weeks. But I am really looking forward to going next year. This morning, I want to quickly bring up an image. Does anyone recognize where this is from? Chosen, yes. So, every so often, the teens will do a study based off of a biblical concept appearing somewhere in one of the episodes. So, as an example, a while back, we did the episode where Jesus is kind of hanging out with the children, kind of teaching them what it means to live differently. And we talked about to be chosen means to be like a child. And this scene right here is Nicodemus and his wife. But a little bit later, Nicodemus is talking to his wife and mentions an inscription on a door sill, and it's Adonai Elroy. The God or the Lord who sees me. And he's talking about the story of Hagar there in Genesis chapter 16. And he says, you know, it's always moved him that she was caught up in something complicated, something rough. She was caught up in heartache, in trouble. And yet, despite all of that, God saw her. Even at her worst, even in a situation where she had no control over it. Have you ever been in a situation where you had absolutely no control over what's happening and it made you feel frustrated or maybe even angry about the situation? You thought, this isn't fair. And yet, even in moments of distress, God is the God who sees us no matter what. And so this morning, I thought we could look at Genesis 16 rather briefly, which is a really rough story. It's rough for all those involved. It shows what happens when you try to plan without God. It shows what happens when those who are without God try to run away. But it also does show us a positive note. It shows us that our God is there watching. He is the God who sees us. And that's where that phrase Adonai Elroy comes from. And then later on, when the well is named Beer Laharoi, the well of the one who sees me. And so as you look at Genesis 16, you find out that the story has a disastrous start. It actually doesn't focus on Hagar immediately. It focuses on Sarai and Abram. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go unto my servant, it may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So she starts off with what? I don't have any children. And the implication there being the promise had not occurred yet. Abram was promised a son of promise by God named Isaac. And it's not there yet. And at this point, they're getting a little bit older. You know, 80s, 90s, somewhere in there. They're wondering what's going on. Sarai's getting a little bit nervous. He's not here yet. Can you just picture her? God made me a promise. It's not happening. What's going on? And so the solution, she's making a plan. She's going to make a plan to have a child by her servant. This would have been very common in the ancient world, but the exception here being, this is not how God said it would go. Notice she acknowledges that this goes against God. She says, "The Lord prevented me, but don't worry, we have a plan." How often do we do that in our own lives? How often, when things are not going as expected, do we say, okay, it's time to take things into my own hands. It's time to live the way that I want to live. I need to get my goals accomplished. And Abram listened to the voice of God and told his wife, probably don't do this. Let's wait on the Lord. That's not exactly how the text goes. He listened to the voice of his wife. How often do we listen to our own voice or the voice of others rather than what God would have us do in this life? Instead of listening to the will of God, we listen to what seems like we'd want to do. And almost immediately, the plan starts to fall apart. It says, so after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Now, again, this is the ancient world. This is a different time for us. This is weird. This is strange. This is difficult. But I think we can all relate to someone trying to use us to accomplish their own ends. And that's the situation that Hagar has found herself in. Only in this situation, she doesn't have a choice. Sarai is using her to accomplish her own goals. And what a shocker, Hagar is having contempt for her. That's when the conflict begins. That's when the issue starts getting bigger. But ultimately, the problem started with making plans without God. You see, the thing is, God sees that. God sees when we try planning without him. God sees when things aren't going according to what we think should happen, or it doesn't even happen as quickly as we think it should. In my life, I'm anticipating several things happening, and I would be absolutely heartbroken if there were delays. I mean, but that's natural, right? If I want something, when do I want it? 30 years from now, or it's J.G. Wentworth commercial. It was around a while ago. I loved the musical number, you know, but ultimately the phrase was, it's my money and I want it now. That's how we live our lives. And if we don't get it now, what do, Steve? We make plans to fast track. We make plans so that we can get what we want right now, even if it excludes the Lord. And we love making plans. We love setting goals. We love trying to reach those goals. Does anyone in here have the calendar? Now, notice how I said that. Not just a calendar that you've got on the table that doesn't get used. The calendar. Usually one person in the family is in control of it. And before you say, I would love to go to lunch with you, you have to talk to the person in charge of the calendar. And I've recently learned this. Sometimes I may not be busy, but then I found out, in fact, I am busy. And that's why now, as a rule, in fact, before I talk to you, Darren, I consulted the person in charge of the calendar to find out if I was able to do what I should do. But that's how we do it. We consult the calendar, we make plans, we make goals, and we chase after those goals. And that's okay. That's actually not a problem. The problem comes when we disregard God and what he would have us do while making those plans. Has anyone in here ever tried to make plans that may not have lined up with what God wants? All right, so have any of you seen any of those infomercials where the person is about to advertise the product and they are just phenomenally useless? Like, they just drop the cup of coffee, it's like, oh no, why did that happen? Well, this is one, I can't remember exactly what the product was. I think it was maybe a car wash caddy or something. Something that you think, oh, I must have that. And this is why. Because this is a fairly accurate representation of me if I try to make plans without God. Here I am carrying things to the car. Happens all the time, right? Obviously, that happens all the time. But that's what happens when we try to make plans without God. Everything tends to fall apart. And God can see that. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." And that doesn't just apply to your personal situations. I talk to people all the time that are worried about the state of the country, that are worried about the state of the world. I talk to people about this, and there is so much heart-shaking fear about the direction things are going. And I really, really try to hold on to this verse. It does not matter what side of the quote-unquote aisle you are on. It does not matter what you believe, what country you are from. It does not matter if what class of person you apparently are. We're all Christians. It does not matter. Everybody makes plans, and everybody's plans fall apart compared to the will of the Lord. God has this. And the sooner we embrace that, the more peaceful we can be. Many are the plans in the mind of a man. We do all kinds of different things. We try to change the direction or the course of this world, and God's just sitting back watching, in control of it all. You see, when we try to make our plans, when we try to scheme, when we try to get our goals, God is the God who sees us no matter what. We need to keep that in mind. And ultimately, again, what I said before is correct. Making plans is fine. Making them without God is the issue. What did Sarai do just a few minutes ago? The Lord has prevented me, and so here's what we're going to do. Can you think of any plan in the history of the world that went well after that statement was uttered? The Lord is keeping me from doing this, so here's what we're going to do. Is that something you'd want to be a part of? I pray not. We do the same thing a lot of times, though. We make the mistake of doing our own thing, at least until we can't. We try to put God in the back seat, and we try to drive the car or fly the plane, depending on who you are. We try to do that until things hit disaster. And all of a sudden we yell for God, "Hey, things aren't going according to plan. I need you to get in here." Instead, we need to consult God and make him the focus of our life, because he is the God who sees no matter what. You know, Hagar's story is just starting here. You need to keep reading. Take a look at the next few verses. It says, "And Sarai said to Abram, 'May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me.' But Abram said to Sarai, 'Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please.'" And then how did Sarai respond? "Then Sarai dealt harshly with her." Whoops. "Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her." See, Sarai makes the original plan. It shockingly does not go well. And again, Abram makes the wrong decision. Instead of saying, "Hey, maybe we should wait on God. Maybe we should instead just trust in the Lord. Maybe we should just have faith." Instead, he gives her the equivalent of, the ancient world equivalent of, just do whatever. And so Sarai deals harshly with Hagar. Enough that Hagar didn't see any other options. she fled. She ran away. She opted to flee. She went out into the wilderness. It says, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, son of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. She didn't see any other option. She got out of there. She ran away. And then the angel said, well, you need to go back. Now, in a short moment, the Lord acknowledges Hagar's troubles. But despite that, Hagar thought, the only thing I can do is run. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you need to just back out of a situation because you just can't handle it? Just like we sometimes think the solution is to make our own plans, sometimes we think the only available solution is to run away. Usually that's after all of our plans have failed. Then we decide it's time to get out. It's time to run. And God sees us when we want to run too. Now, running away, at least in this context, is rarely a physical thing. Often it can be, maybe you need to back out of an uncomfortable situation. Maybe you're trying to reach people for God and you're realizing, you know, maybe I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to lead people to God. Or maybe it's a situation where someone's wronged you and you have been presented with an opportunity to show forgiveness and you're just not ready for that. I can't handle it. I don't know if I can do that. How do you expect me to deal with someone who has hurt me that badly? Or maybe it's choosing to ignore what is going on. That can be a way to run away. If I ignore it long enough, if I put it under the rug, this problem I'm dealing with will go away. You ever thought that to yourself? If I just leave it alone long enough, if I push it under the rug instead of dealing with it, after all, I'd rather ignore it than maybe have an uncomfortable conversation. Or maybe even running from God. How does that tend to go? Running from God. You know, commitment to God can be uncomfortable. So maybe I'll just focus on work. Maybe I'll just focus on my hobbies. Maybe I'll just focus on school. Maybe I'll do anything at all possible to avoid commitment to being a Christian or commitment to the church. And God sees us when we have a desire to flee from Him. Sometimes you want to run away from serving God. Maybe you're scared to place God first in your life because you don't know where that's going to lead. I had a buddy of mine from school. He was like, I don't quite know where God wants me, but I'm almost scared to find out, because we had just had like a mission seminar and he was talking about going overseas. Now, you don't have to be going overseas to be frightened about what God has planned for you. The unknown can be scary, but God wants what is best for you. And running away from that can't do anything but harm you. I'm reminded of Jonah, who tried to run away, was super effective with it, if you remember the story, right? Now, I always laugh when I think about Jonah, because the outline of the book, as I describe it, is hilarious. So chapter 1, the Lord says, you know, go and preach to the Ninevites, right? And then it says, Jonah rose to flee, here in verse 3. Chapter 2 is him being eaten by a fish and praying. And then chapter 3, and the Lord said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah went. There was a learning process there. Us fleeing from God happens and it doesn't work out, just like with Jonah. It says in Jonah 1, verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Can you get away from the presence of the Lord? There's a common theme here. Sarai is trying to get around what God has prevented her from doing. Jonas trying to get around what God would have him do, and both times it doesn't work out. In our own lives, we need to be mindful about that. Sometimes we do just want to run away. Hagar and Jonah both wanted out. Lord, if you actually saw what's going on here, you would understand. You would see why I just have to get out. I can't deal with Sarai. I can't preach to Nineveh. I can't deal with this. And sometimes in our own lives, we feel the same way. Sometimes we feel like that and we think, God, are you not watching what's going on in my life? Have you not seen the last month where one thing after another hits me like a truck and I just can't handle it anymore? I need to get out. Do you not see me? Are you not noticing? He does notice. He is the God who sees us. And as much as we'd like to treat that like a solution, we cannot run from God. We can't run away from things. Hagar couldn't run from Sarai. Jonah could not run from the presence of the Lord, and neither can we run. See, God sees us no matter what, especially when we want to run away. He sees us in the struggle to make plans. He sees us when we want to keep running. He sees us when the day brings nothing but anxiety and anxiousness, and you're just ready to give up. You're ready to throw in the towel. He sees us when you're just trying to run and get some peace. But running away doesn't actually bring peace. Only God can do that. Now, in a moment, God is going to offer peace to Hagar in a way that running never could. We're reaching the conclusion of the story about her. And again, it's a rough story. It's one that's pretty uncomfortable to talk about because it's so far and away from what we would have in our own lives. But we get frustrated. We get heartbroken. We try to make plans and they don't go well. They fall apart. And we try to run as well. Hagar was sent back by the Lord, and you got to picture that situation. If you're dealt a rough hand, you're put into a situation where you have no control, and then when you try to run, you're told to return, and you're like, can I not just get out of this? Can I not just escape and do my own thing and live my own life? Have you ever had a talk with someone and they just say, I just want to live my own life, leave me be? Have you ever felt like that? You might be saying, are you serious, God? This is hopeless. But God is the God who sees us even when things appear to be hopeless. Genesis 16:10-12, the angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. He gives her a child. He offers her redemption. He says, hey, this isn't Sarai's plan. This is my plan. The Lord is listening. The Lord is seeing her even when she's hopeless. And she recognizes it. In the very next two verses, the ones that we read earlier, so she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore, the well was called Beer Laharoi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. She recognized that God is a God who sees us, even when she's been dealt a bad hand, even when she is dealing with heartbreak and frustration, even when she wants to run away, even when it feels hopeless. He is the God who sees me, who listened to my affliction. He's the God who understands. And he is here even when I feel like there is no hope. And that's something for our lives too. You know, we've been talking about this idea of a God who sees us no matter what. Regularly, I talk to people who talk about the fact that things are just not going according to plan. And if I'm honest, a lot of times that's me too. A couple years ago, had no idea what direction I was going, and God decided to explain it. But then things come up. Heartaches happen. Family members get sick. Problems at work, problems at home, problems at school for some of the younger ones in here. Things are not going according to plan. I'm going to make my own plans and then find out they fail. Where are you at, God? Where are you at? What's going on? Don't you see me? And you're to the point where you just want to run away like Hagar, and you find out you can't even do that either. We can't run away from the whole world, otherwise we wouldn't be in it. Instead, we got to focus on our God. Even when it's hopeless, or it feels hopeless. Because it's not ever hopeless. The God is the God who sees us no matter what. But that begs the question, now what? If God is a God who sees us, even when we make plans that fail, even when we want to run away, even when it's hopeless, we need to remember that we're not alone. You see, just like God offered Hagar hope and redemption, he offers us hope and redemption too, through Jesus Christ. He was with her at her lowest moment. Lowest moment, no hope in the world, and he is with us in our lowest moment too. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Despite the struggles, despite the heartaches, despite the plans that exclude God, despite the running away, despite the hopeless feeling that is eating at you, God is there. God sees us. But we need to make a choice to see him. In a second, we're going to be having an invitation song. And we need to realize that Hagar was offered hope. Everyone through history was offered hope by God. And we're offered hope through Jesus Christ today. We just need to make the choice. If you're struggling to recognize God seeing you, if you're struggling to recognize there's a reason why your plans without God fail, if you're struggling to realize you can't run towards anything but the Lord, we'd like to pray for you. Or maybe you're ready to embrace the hope of Christ. Maybe you're ready to embrace the God who sees you. Please come as we sing together.
My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain, he sees each tear, he understands each lonely heartache, he understands because he cares. My Jesus knows just what I need, oh yes, he knows just what I need, he satisfies. My Jesus knows when I am burdened. He knows how much my heart can bear. He lifts me up when I am sinking and brings me joy beyond compare. My Jesus knows what I need. Oh, yes, he knows. Seem to forget me when skies are dark
faith I feel, His arms about me, and hear Him say, "You're not alone." My Jesus knows what I need. Oh yes, He knows. Just one.